You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Kaprizov trying to center. And score! Eriksson ties it for the Wild. Unbelievable! And back come the Wild. It's 3-on-1 at the Jets line. Kaprizov to Fiala. Kaprizov. Eriksson scores!
There it is. Yes.
It's a new era of Wild hockey. Yes, ode to joy until
the Wild flag.
The world ends.
Yes, it was 2003, but who cares? It's the flag, state of hockey.
Wow, inject all of that into our veins last night. You guys did a Judd's Hockey Show, if people missed it, Judd's Hockey Show multiple days a week now that the season has started. But this is Mackie and Judd, daily Minnesota sports entertainment, and damn it, we want titles. We are raising the bar for expectations among Minnesota sports fans, and the Wild, maybe the team most likely to win a title right now. If we took all the teams, United, Lynx, all the teams included, I think the Wild number one on the team most likely to win a championship pecking order in this town?
Yes. Yes. And they are also. Hold on.
Sorry.
You play that, I got to wave the flag again.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I got to wave. It's a requirement in my contract now that I got to wave the flag if you play Ode to Joy.
We're just going to hit Judd at random moments in his life. Judd's out to brunch on bye week Sunday with Don.
I got to go get him. Don,
oh, sorry. Don, sorry.
Got to run home for the flag. State of hockey flag.
Amazing.
What are you doing with the flag there? It's an appropriate gesture. All right. So what were you saying? So most team most likely to win the title, and you were saying?
Yes, because they are the team that I mean, they're so – that game last night, it was a regular season game. It felt like a playoff game. Mm-hmm. The intensity – and I told Dex, so the most important thing, Phil, in my opinion, as somebody who spent years, as you know, being incredibly critical of this team, furious rallies to me was an insult because that was a team that didn't care until they did care, and then it's like, we're going to catch up now. And I felt like, just don't even try. Like, if you don't care, you don't care. They put on a lowercase furious rally last night, but what paid off was the hard work and caring. So you don't get a guy on an empty net goal who goes offside, offsides. Like, that's damn near impossible to screw that play up unless you also create your own luck to a certain degree, right? So just to be clear, the furious rallies uppercase are gone because those guys didn't care for huge portions of game. And then they're like, this team actually cares a lot. It's led really well. And the other thing is, and this is where they're going to get you, Macadac, where they're going to get you is this. The speed of this team now is so much fun to watch.
Okay, because I was going to ask you about the furious rallies. I wanted to know, and I'm glad you brought this up, I wanted to know, what's the difference between what we saw last night and the team for years that you coined the furious rallies, where they would, okay, I guess, all right. And from what you're saying, it sounds like the furious rallies were the college student. I'm looking at myself here, by mm-hmm. the way. The college student that knew that he had, or she, like 25 days to complete a term paper. And the night before it's due, you're playing video games and you're like, oh man, I should probably start on that term paper, huh? I got a 15-page term paper. I guess I should probably start now. And this this incarnation of the Wild is starting that term paper on day one because they care. They're invested in the class. Is that a fair assumption?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And on this, on the speed front, I mean, even the Hockey Whisperer last night is watching that thing. Like, oh, let's talk about overtime for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, Kirill Kaprizov hasn't scored a goal yet this season. Mm-hmm. But the way he controls the game, especially in overtime, there was one possession where a possession kind of blew up. And I think this was overtime. It might have been toward the end of the third, but I think it was overtime. A possession kind of blows up, and ordinarily it would have been like a turnover. Like, you mm-hmm. know, the old plotting Wild would have just like, oh, the possession blew up, and now, like, oh, I turned the puck over and odd man rushed the other way or something.
Right.
Kaprizov regains control,
mm-hmm.
skates it towards center ice, turns back around, skates back in. It was like NHL 95, right? You're just skating around. Yeah. Possession, speed, tic-tac-toe passing in overtime. Like, what are these things that we haven't seen?
There it is. All right. Let's finish now.
Well, I mean,
time of day. Let you go off.
And I think, too,
like for a dude to control the game without scoring like he does, really stands out to the casual Hockey Whisperer here.
And I think the player you're also talking about is the one that eventually led to the power play, which led to the game-winning goal in overtime. So that's just who he is. I mean, he commands so much respect on the ice that and so much attention gets drawn on him that other players are going to start to succeed. Like Joel Eriksson-Ek should be a player that parks himself in front of the net and cleans up garbage goals and works hard and is a pest and is a pain in the ass to play against. But now all of a sudden, Ek is getting in space and has opportunities to create highlight reel goals. His wraparound goal yesterday, that's a goal Joel Eriksson-Ek has never been able to show that he scores. It's an exact kind of play Bill Guerin says to me, no, Declan, you're wrong. He has more skill than you think, and he can actually score highlight reel goals. He literally, his presence alone lifts up the team. And it's solely on him.
Eriksson-Ek has full seasons in which he's only scored 6 goals, 8 goals. He had a hat trick last night. Grab the flag!
The flag's back up!
The flag!
Stella! I'm getting tired! You got a relief, Mark's dad!
And the crazier part is that top line, which, by the way, is honestly the best top line the Wild have probably had in years, like even in Parise Suter era. Like, I don't remember, at least talent wise, Zuccarello, Kaprizov,
Beck, the skill?
Having the natural skill they did. And last night they combined for 10 points. 10 points, and it still felt, as Judd and I talked about on Judd's Hockey Show, they could have done even more. Like, it feels like they're scratching the surface of what this top line can really do. And they had 10 points combined last night.
They're not to the point yet of all three of them being on the same page, which is really scary. 14 shots on goal, 5 goals, 10 points. And that is frightening. But here's the, so if you're a sports fan in this town, and I hesitate to go here because we've gone here before, I feel like, at times, and it's blown up. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Wolves start tonight. Ant Edwards has the potential to be and seems to have the maturity to be a guy that can make a difference for an entire franchise, right? Like, he's that type of player. He's special. And he gets it. Kaprizov, again, a marvelous talent, but I'll give you two things. One, the Jets, who were playing him for the first time last night, thought, we're going to come in and push him around. And what did he do? He pushed back. Furthermore, you guys tell me, how many guys in this town on a breakaway chance or if something were to happen, get tripped, slam into the end boards, whiplash their head, are down for a second, get up and are like, no, I'm staying on. Bleep this. I'm staying on and I'm going to play great. I am going to play better. The third guy, Justin Jefferson. You throw the ball in his area code and lots of times he's just going to make the damn catch. Like, how long has it been since we've had the ability, I feel like, to be this excited by three players on different teams who are all young and in their own way, all really, really talented and seem to get it?
Yeah, it's a blast. It is. Like, and I want to give Ant a little more time before I officially crown him. Okay.
Oh, you want one more?
triggered it myself.
But it is a blast. Actually, let's three games doesn't tell the whole story of a season here, but I think there's a lot to be gleaned in these first three Wild games. Let's continue this Wild Appreciation Wednesday here. What are your favorite things about the first three games of a new era of Wild hockey? And some might say, well, actually last year was the new era because Kaprizov kind of took over as the face of the franchise.
Correct.
But last year was the handing off of the baton. But now the guys who've handed off the baton, against their will, by the way, Suter and Parisi are gone. And now you've and Koivu's gone. And you look up and down the roster, and instead of a bunch of dudes who are, you know, 35, 36, it's a bunch of dudes running this team who are in their mid-20s for the first time.
Yep.
What new era of Wild hockey, three games in, what are your favorite things?
Speed is number one. Mm-hmm. If you're a bunch of really good guys and you can't play, you still suck. The speed of this team, aside from a guy like Rask, is incredible. Like, they play at pace now, and the pace of this league is, in person, it's incredible. On TV, it's fun to watch. When you are at the game like Dex and I were last night and seeing that game up and down, and the Jets are a good team. So like, the Jets are a formidable foe. Kings aren't that good. The Ducks aren't that good. The Jets are good. That's my number one. My number two thing is Marcus Foligno, who is now an alternate captain, replacing Parisi and Suter. How will you ever replace how they led this team? Marcus Foligno, who has always led and been a important voice, has gone up like three notches. Every shift is incredible. His skill continues to improve, which is sort of weird. He's just off the charts. Like, this is the type of guy that you want. He is the exact type of guy that you want. And then my last thing is probably the fact that this team as a whole is legitimately, and you can tell it, on the same page. Like, they finally carved out all of the guys who were like, well, man, my ice time. I mean, we won, but look at my ice time. I'm not quite so sure that that's the right ice time for me. You know, I'm supposed
talk
to be
to my
star.
You got to talk to my agent about
exactly,
about
exactly.
This.
Yeah. You know,
all right, Zach.
The game's done. The game's done, and we won. But I'm going to call my friend Craig Leopold, who owns the team, and I'm going to complain about a couple of all that crap is done. So I think it's a combination to me personally of you need to be really good and skilled, and they're now skilled and fast, but also the culture of this team now has pivoted completely, which it couldn't, and this is why they bought out Suter too. It couldn't as long as both Ryan and Zach were still there.
Yeah, I would say skill and speed are two things that just this team has lacked for a long time. You know, Nino and Granlund and Zucker, they all were somewhat of that. Zucker was a fast player, but Niederreiter and Granlund, they were up and down all the time. It just seems like Ek, Fiala, Kaprizov are completely different. And Fiala just has a tenacity about him that even when he's having an off night, which last night, I didn't think he had a great night last night. He turned the puck over a ton, which is kind of Kevin to a degree, but he didn't have a great night, but you always notice him. And the swagger about this team, like a guy like Fiala, and even what Dumba brings as well, because like Dumba's an alternate captain who has come a long way on and off the ice in his career, and Bill Guerin wants to amplify him. And Dumba's mantra and just swagger, too, is important for this team. Everyone else was, I think, so afraid to step up and be leaders. Bill Guerin talked about, we want everyone in the room to have a voice here, which is basically a shot at the old regime saying, if no one wants to say anything, please speak up. Don't let anyone just strangle out the life of this locker room. He wants, if Nico Sturm, for God's sakes, wants to speak up and say something, he should have the power to do that without being afraid because the old guard would not approve of something like that. So yeah, I think skill and speed and like Judd said, the chemistry and just vibe of this team are just completely different than past teams.
And I'll add another one here because I think if you go back, you know, I'm trying to think the first year they made the playoffs in the new Parisi Suter era was like 9 years ago, 2012, 13, somewhere in there. So, you know, they've been They've been a playoff team or a borderline playoff team for the better part of a decade, almost every year. But in almost every one of those series, they haven't had the best player on the ice. Certainly against Chicago in all those series. I think St. Louis and Colorado have had the best. Like, who's the best player in the series? Rank all the players. It's very rare that the Wild have had the best player in the series.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or in any, you know, in any given game, even. Like, just think about the 82 games in the regular season. Like, how many of those throughout the last 8 years or so have the Wild had the best player on the ice? And there are better players than Kaprizov in the NHL, but they're going to have the best player on the ice a lot more often now than I think they have. All due respect to prime Zach Parise was a really good player. But even prime Zach Parise would line up, and he'd be more of like the second or third best player on the ice when lined up against some of the top teams in the conference and looking over to the East too. So just knowing that you've got Kaprizov and knowing that you've got the best player on the ice changes a lot of things. I think it changes the mentality. I think it changes the way that the opposing team operates. And it probably, to Dex's point earlier, it probably opens up more opportunities for guys like Eriksson Ek, who might not be top scorers, but they have more, I don't know, open space potentially to operate because so much attention is being paid to Kaprizov. So.
And great players free up the entire team. Because Kaprizov, and the thing too is, though, you got to watch his entire game, because if he was just really talented and good and sort of blew off the, like he got hit and he would just get mad and pout, because he lashes out back, which is, I think, outstanding. He gets knocked down. He gets up and he shoves it up your you know what, not, oh, no, I got knocked down. That's what's so important, because he sets a tone by just flat out being great, which is important. But he sets a tone by his actions, too. And so, like when you watch Kaprizov work, how can you say, yeah, but I'm trying hard too? I mean, one, he is a superior player to you. Two, are you going to allow him to outwork you? Because yeah. He will. And so the greatest thing to go back to my point about the three potential stars too, the greatest thing about what's going on here too is I feel like in this town, and what I'm about to say is going to sound weird at first, so bear with me. I feel like we jersey chase as far as the back of the name goes. We're desperate to anoint stars. Granlund's really good. He's a star. I'm going to get a 64 jersey and put Granlund on the back and root for him. Or Zucker's really fast. We're desperate to anoint stars. And the problem with that is it stops us from knowing what stars are. And in Kaprizov, you're seeing a star.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, instead of... Zach Parise at the height of Zach's career worked really hard and was pretty skilled, but he wasn't anywhere near a superstar ever. But we were desperate to chase the jersey. What jersey can I get? Get an 11 Parise. He's the star player. You know, Koivu's the captain. He must be great. No, he's good. You now are seeing in Kirill Kaprizov what a star is. You can go buy his jersey. You have a star's jersey.
Here's a question for you guys about the first three games of Kaprizov. I think when you think of star NHL players, you know, most people think of the top goal scorers, right? The guys who are, you know, scoring 40 goals. And by the way, he might still score like 35 or 40 goals if he plays a full season. But I almost feel like he spends just as much time or maybe more time trying to set other people up. It kind of reminds me of the way that, and this is going to sound ridiculous too, because I'm drinking all kinds of Kool-Aid here, as you can tell. I don't want to compare him to, but like in the NBA, Magic Johnson and LeBron James could score 40 points every night if they wanted to, but they know that it's better for the team if they spend the first quarter or chunks of games getting other people involved and distributing and just being that straw that stirs the drink. Like, and even just pulling up the first three game box scores, like he's only taken 7 shots in the first three games.
Not enough.
You could say it's not enough. But he's also spending time facilitating and getting other players involved, and it may be the way that he's approaching it makes the entire team better as opposed to him just trying to get his. I guess my question to you is, do you notice that, or do you still think he's not shooting enough?
Well, two things. I think number one, just his presence and what he's able to do as a playmaker. Like, he is naturally a playmaker. When Judd makes a comparison to Patrick Kane, I think that is honestly dead accurate. Like, Patrick Kane has the ability to take over a game if he would like to. He obviously has had the skill. I know he's up there in age, but he has had shown the ability that he can take over a game and score a big-time goal. Wild fans know that really well. But he's a playmaker as it is. But Kirill last year, through the first, I believe it was, dozen and a half games, and I think there was other teams and other media outlets that were chirping Mr. Zolgad and myself, saying that, why are you complaining that Kirill Kaprizov doesn't shoot more? And then all of a sudden, Kirill doubles his shot total, and guess what happens? He scores more goals. So you can also take your star players and have expectations for them and raise them up even more and say, wait a minute, yeah, this player is damn good. This top line is damn good. And they had 10 points last night. I still don't think it's enough, and we're just scratching the surface. It's okay to ask even more from your star players, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. Here is, if you want the deep dive into the analytics, so Declan often talks about Corsi and Fenwick, which are sort of possession stats based on shots attempted. So let's call it activity. When Kaprizov is on the ice through three games this season, the Wild are out, I'm going to say out activating, active, out activating, out.
Do they have the puck more?
Yes.
I don't want to say out possessing because that's a different metric, but they are
generating more chances.
Generating more chances, okay, at a 2-1 clip compared, okay, to the opposing lines.
Yeah.
Through,
yeah,
three games. That's pretty amazing.
That line flat out generates a ton of chances. I think as Ek gets more comfortable too, and I mean he works his ass off, so it's great. The one thing, Phil, to keep in mind, and why Kaprizov needs to shoot more, Zuccarello won't. He wants to set up plays. Like that line is, Zuccarello is going to be in some ways, I would say, a pseudo center. Because he's a really good passer, and he will shoot, but he doesn't love to shoot. Ek is the garbage man. He's going to clean up. Like he is going to score a ton of goals in front. He's going to get beat up, which is awesome. Kaprizov is going to have to be, and he is, the trigger man. He's going to have to be the guy who because he's going to score the goals. He's going to, and his shot is incredible. But to be clear, I'm not criticizing him because there's nothing wrong with the fact that his overall game is so damn good. But I think at the end of the day, and why Kaprizov probably will score between 35 and 40 goals to me, is because his role, they're going to have to sit him down, or his dad is going to have to call him again and say, you got to shoot the puck because you're the guy on this line to shoot. Because Zuccarello is not going to change. Like, he is not going to, I'll shoot a ton. He's going to score goals, but he will not shoot a ton. And he sets up plays beautifully.
If you guys have Wild fever, like we clearly do here.
Flag.
Free flag fly, John.
Good news for you, because we're giving away Wild Predators tickets for the upcoming game on October 24th. For free on the Score North app. So the Score North app is free to download. It's the central hub for everything we do here, all of our podcasts, all of our YouTube videos, all of Judd's written work, all of our other podcasts. All you have to do is open the app, register, and enter, and we'll pick a winner on October 21st, which is tomorrow. So you got about 24 hours to get your submissions in. And if you're a college student, even better news, college night discounts are back this season at the X, and Wild tickets start at just $39. There's a few games to choose from each month, and you can find out more at wild.com/theme packs. How much fun was the atmosphere last night in that building?
It was awesome. It was, Judd's right. It felt like a playoff game. And obviously, I'm sure 21 months without a full capacity crowd will do that. Your home opener will naturally do that. But when Brendan Dillon of the Winnipeg Jets made the foolish decision to drop the gloves with Marcus Foligno, who then channeled his inner Roman Reigns with a Superman punch right across his face and got the crowd fired up even more. Like, the Wild trailed in this game for a good amount of time. I don't know what the splits were, but they were probably trailing for at least half of, if not more, of this game. Never felt like it because the crowd was so into it the entire game. It was awesome. It was awesome.
A lot of fans started, when it looked like the Jets had scored their sixth goal,
a lot of fans
started to leave. And then and the camera started to show fans like coming back in after it was waved. So
I hope they got back in,
man. Stick around that long. Just, you know, sit in your seat. It's an exciting team.
The 3-on-3 OT format is one of the best changes made across all of sports I've ever seen.
Easily.
Yeah, it's a blast.
All sports. Yeah. It's incredible. Like,
it's a blast.
It literally it goes to a pond hockey format, which is with where the skill is now. It's incredible. Like, I don't think that there's, I'm hard pressed to think of changes made in sports in the last 20 years that are as good as, and 4-on-4 was okay, but 3-on-3 is absolutely the sweet spot. It's so much fun to watch. And when you're as fast now, and you guys recall, I used to chart like who they would put out there 3-on-3. Here's Koivu. Here's Parisi. Here's Suter. Here's another slow guy who's skating in quicksand. Now it's bang, 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 bang.
The tic-tac-toe sequence at the end of that game. Mm. And by the way, it was because they were still on the power play.
Yeah.
And there was a 2-on-1 going Talbot's direction, right?
Great save.
And he makes a save, and then all of a sudden, boom, breakaway. And the first, I'd have to go look and see again and watch the play, but like the outlet pass to set up, that first pass to set up the 3-on-1, and then you're thinking, okay, just don't get stupid here. Don't take too many passes. I was kind of like, oh, it's too many passes. No, it was perfect.
The skill is
just
so
ridiculous.
High there. Exactly.
So
Parisi would have gotten the tic-tac-toe pass and directed it wide.
Mm.
Like missed the net. Yeah. Like that's what used to happen.
Yeah. Well, that was a blast last night. And, you know, maybe they lose their next four and we start ripping them in a week. But we always will have the first three games of the new Wild Era.
Exactly. Oh, hold on.
Got the flag.
Amazing. Flag.
Today is also a write that down and accountability session Wednesday. You guys are going to admit that you were wrong, right? Yes. Every Wednesday on Mackie and Judd and Purple Daily. So that's coming up. Stick with us.
Yeah, most sports talking heads make predictions, then hope you forget about how wrong they were. But not Mackie and Judd.
Write this down.
This is the Big Leagues, where we own our terrible predictions.
Write that down.
And keep track of each other's batting averages. It's Write That Down.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
With Mackie and Judd.
That's right. Every single Wednesday on Mackie and Judd, and also on Purple Daily, our sister show, our other daily show. This is where we hold each other accountable, keep track of where we were wrong and right, and make predictions every single week. It is the most transparent, innovative segment in sports talk. The most dangerous, also. Here's how it works. Three predictions.
We're on tightropes, Phil. We're on tightropes all the time.
We are the Walenda family of sports talk. Look that up if you don't get the reference. All right, here's how Write That Down works. Three predictions from everybody each week. They must be quantifiable. We keep track of batting averages and home runs. And listeners, if you guys want to participate, you can get in the action by either sliding into our producer Declan's DMs on Twitter or Instagram, or you can send us a message through the Score North app. We're actually spending every Friday on the show here, too, on Feedback Friday, taking your questions and your gripes and anything you want to talk about, and we're answering those questions and thoughts and comments on the Friday show, too. So the Score North app is a great place to either get on Write That Down or get on Feedback Friday. Either way, send us a message. So, boys, before we get to Declan's brother Liam here making a return appearance once again, and I also, my brother Liam's sources tell me that he has a challenge to issue at the end of Write That Down.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, yep. So Declan is aware.
Oh, it's going to get controversial.
Yeah, I'm aware.
You guys didn't warn me about this.
I love
this.
The challenge.
Yeah,
I'm here for the challenge.
Okay.
But let's get to the accountability session. So Judd has had a stranglehold. He won last year's batting title. He's been above 400 for most of the year, but it's been a rough couple of weeks for Judd Zolgad. And it continues here. Oof. Judd, you said Kirill Kaprizov will score two or more goals against the Ducks in the Wild season opener. What a loser, man. The guy hasn't even scored any goals yet in the first three games. What?
He's a boss. He's not that good. I thought he was good.
Hopefully the ink isn't dry on that contract because, wow.
Iowa is an option. No question about it. Need some time in the American Hockey League.
I want you to stumble into a Dean Evason press conference and ask, hey, is it concerning that Kaprizov hasn't scored in the first three goals?
You guys considering a roster move?
Iowa? All right, and then you said both Rossi and Boldy would dress for the Wild on opening night.
I feel fine about that. I'm just wrong.
They're both in Iowa, right?
No, Boldy is hurt. Oh, he did not dress. But he did not dress, so I didn't come close.
Rozzy is in Iowa. All right, it was a rough week for me, too, here. A lot of red. Kind of a bloodbath for old Mackadak. He said the Wild would score at least 3 goals in the opener against the Ducks, and Kaprizov and Fiala would both score.
Yeah, one of them.
Fiala did. I said the Wolves would go undefeated in the preseason. They let their foot off the gas in the fourth preseason.
I love your Wolves stuff. Undefeated in the preseason.
There's plenty more of that came from. Oh, by the way, I was almost right on that one.
Oh, I know. I just still love it.
All right, I said Kaprizov will score the first regular season goal for the Wild. He did not. And this is actually kind of perplexing to me. That Garrett Bradbury has not been benched yet, but I said he would be benched before the bye week for non-injury reasons. And still.
How bad is Mason Cole?
Yeah, like he played 2 snaps apparently on Sunday
as an extra lineman.
That's what it was. Okay.
Yes, they deployed him as a blocker for an extra lineman.
The listeners had a couple things come off the board. Sam had a parlay. He said St. John's football would beat Bethel by at least 10 points, which they didn't. They only won that game a couple weeks ago by like 5 or something.
Okay.
But they're steamrolling everybody else, and so he's probably right on this other part. But he said they go undefeated in the regular season and would win the MIAC. Well, they might do those things, but they did not beat Bethel by at least 10. And then Seth said, from now until the end of the season, I missed this one a couple weeks ago, the Twins will have 0 pitchers suspended for using a foreign substance, and they did not. Congratulations.
Yeah, way to go, Twins.
The Twins, man. Really, I would recommend for that pitching staff, find a substance that makes your pitches better.
Yeah. Cheat. Yeah. Bang on trash cans. Do whatever you have to do.
Okay, I'm kind of rooting for the Astros now. Is that weird?
Eh, I hate the Red Sox. I love the villain. Red Sox. So I'm with you, actually.
Yeah. I like, and the Dodgers, like, who's rooting for the Dodgers? And I don't know. The Braves are just so... I don't know. I'm kind of rooting for the heel now, the Astros.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you.
I like the Red Sox.
Okay.
All right, big week for Declan here. Mixed bag here. I'm going to start with the red here. You said Matthew Boldy would dress in the Wild opener against the Ducks. We already covered that with Judd. Not. You said the Wolves will trade a future first-round pick this summer. Well, the word summer probably screwed you there to begin with, but the season starts now, and so... I would have listened to an argument if a trade went down yesterday that summer meant offseason, but here we are. You said the Wolves will trade Malik Beasley this offseason. However, Declan said the Wild would score at least 3 power play goals by next week's Write That Down. They have 4. 3 of them came last night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were sitting side by side. He was sweating it out.
Yeah, I was sweating it out.
You said the Wild would win the season opener against the Ducks.
Damn right.
And you said Rossi will not dress in the Wild's regular season opener against the Ducks.
All right.
Correct.
Coming. I'm coming.
So 3 for 6 there. And look at this. Judd still in the lead here with a 366
tighten up,
average.
Though. Let's just call a spade a spade. This is getting tight.
Yep. 366 for Judd. 6 home runs on the season, which is tied for the league lead. Declan at 355, just 11 points back and 4 home runs. So this is within range. If you guys have some predictions come off the board, Judd, you better watch it. Declan could take the lead next week.
I'm not afraid.
You're in your slump, buddy. You're in a slump here. You got to get a slump buster out.
Yeah. And I've just kind of been hovering.
The Wild will beat the Ducks on Saturday. The Wild will win the opening faceoff.
You can
make
that
those predictions. 50-50.
I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I'm not going to do that. No. I don't look.
You sabotage active predictions that were home runs. But, you know, that's fine. Yeah.
That wasn't sabotaging.
It was.
My knowledge of the great game of football just happened to cost
okay.
you.
I got
and
you.
Then Booney got on and was full Zolgad on it.
You know, I might have to, with my 312 average and only 3 home runs, I need to pick it up. So I might have to start making some more layup predictions. And listeners are at 281 with a league tying or leading 6 home runs. Overall, Judd with 185 career hits. Listeners lead with 15 career home runs. And Declan picked up 3 more hits to get up to 74 in his Write That Down career. Let's bring him in. He is a frequent guest here on Write That Down. He is Declan's brother, Liam, here to sling Hello. Some takes and predictions. Brother Liam, how are you today?
I'm well. Can we just talk about Declan's, like, Lou Ford-type season right now? Once they find out that he's a horrible pole hitter, he's never going to make it above the Mendoza line again. So.
Wow.
Wow.
That hurts.
And there could be steroids.
It's a compliment. Lou Ford had a good year.
That's true.
Lou Ford also didn't Lou Ford also burn himself trying to iron a shirt while he was wearing it?
Iron a shirt while he was wearing it, as one does.
Yeah. My God.
Lou Ford, man. So, all right. So we're going to start with Brother Liam. We're going to go to Judd, over to Declan, and then back to me. Three trips around the room, and then at the end of it, a challenge that Brother Liam will issue to Declan. But let's start with the predictions. Brother Liam, the floor is yours.
Write this down.
All right. I got some long-term projections here. So my first projection, and there's some Philly ties to some of these because my boss is gracious enough to give me a little bit of leeway here, and he's from Philly. So my first prediction is this. Ben Simmons will play no more than 20 NBA games this season.
Ooh, for anyone.
For anyone. Hmm. I think the Sixers just hold out. I think they stand pat. They're not going to get maximum value for him, and they're willing to fine him, and they're willing to just let him sit instead of just cutting loose and giving him what he wants. He's going to act like a baby, that's fine, but they're going to eat it.
God, that's amazing. I mean, now it's like, you know, a lot of people, rightfully so, are saying, why would you even want to trade for him at this point? He's just such a selfish baby.
Right.
But he has to do this. Like, this is the way – he's under contract for 4 years, and so there's really no other way to force your way out. So it's – man.
Right. But the you know, the Morey has all the cards. He's got no leverage right now.
Yeah, how willing would he be to be fined, like, a total of $30 million for – just being a detriment to the team, man.
Or just being a jerk.
Just practicing in sweatpants with an iPhone
in his pocket,
refusing to do defensive drills.
One AirPod. Taking calls.
Yeah.
Did he have the AirPod in?
No.
Oh, That's next.
That's next. Yeah, there's levels to it.
All right, Judd, your first prediction here.
Write this down. The Timberwolves will make the play-in tournament this season and then qualify for the postseason. So the Wolves are going to eke their way in at the bottom of the Western Conference playoff standings, and then they're going to win the games that you need to qualify for the playoffs.
Got it.
Love it, dude. Wow. That would be a big, big step for the Timberwolves franchise. Just be the 10 seed. That's all we're asking for. The bar is not very high.
Write this down.
No, but we'd be thrilled.
I'd be thrilled for us. That'd be great. That'd be great.
Declan?
I have a Ben Simmons prediction, too, I'm going to lead off with. And I think I've also made this exact prediction, and it's come off the board before, but I'm going to speak it again into existence. Ben Simmons will be traded by next week's Write That Down.
Okay.
Yeah, you've done this before.
I think I have made this exact prediction before. So I'm just going to take I saw the same pitch. I know exactly where it is, and I'm going to take another hack, and I might miss again, which is usually my baseball career, but Ben Simmons will be traded by next week's Write That Down.
All right, off the record, will it be to the Timberwolves?
I think so.
There's no way. There's no way.
I love it.
It just kind of feels like the ship has sailed a little bit. Yes. Like the Wolves have built chemistry, and everyone loves each other, and we're ready to push forward. And Chris Finch in the Star Tribune saying, I love everything that we have right now. And, you know, it would be a lot to – if it was 2 months ago, I think it's more realistic, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Mm-hmm. All right.
Write this down.
I'm going to guzzle some Wolves Kool-Aid here. The Timberwolves will win the tip-off against the Houston Rockets. That's right. They will win the tip-off.
Oh, my God.
It's 50-50.
Are you serious?
It's 50-50.
Did we just make that prediction?
It's 50-50.
Did we just go there?
How many listeners predict coin toss results on Write That Down? All the time. This is the equivalent of an NBA coin toss, and I feel like the Wolves are going to start their season with some positive momentum by winning the tip-off. Write it down.
Write this down.
Wow.
Brother Liam, your second prediction.
Of all the predictions I expect.
Oh, God. Yeah. Holy shit.
Follow that up.
Baby steps, okay?
How do I top that one?
This is brick by brick. We're building this thing, all right? Family. Timberwolves.
Oh, God.
Win the tip-off.
The Wolves will make a three-point shot.
Yeah.
God bless. All right. So for my next prediction, the Minnesota Wild will finish with more points than Chuck Fletcher's Philadelphia Flyers this year.
All right. Chuck Fletcher out there just eating the Philly cheesesteak sandwiches.
Nick Seeler. It is a baby wild. Nick Seeler out there. Nate Prosser's in the organization. Like, it's total just like mimicking every pattern.
Isn't Brent Flair also back there with him too?
Brent Flair is the assistant GM out there.
He's his buddy. Yeah. It's hockey. Of course he's there.
It's Nick Seeler. Nate Prosser is in like their player development now.
That's still going on.
God bless. Well, no, he's done.
Oh,
like,
okay.
He's washed. I mean, I'm sure he's Nate Prosser. He's used to sitting in the press booth for like.
He was washed as a player, my man.
Game. Yeah. I don't know. He'd pop in for like three games a year and look pretty.
Oh,
okay.
He's a great guy.
Great guy. I've had beers with him. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I love great guys.
Great guy.
I love great. Yeah, who doesn't?
Write it down. You like not what it's sleeping down. About. As Bill Guerin said, I don't care if you're a good guy. Shut up and play.
Right. Shut up. Shut up and win.
Back to Judd, who loves great guys. All right, your second prediction.
The Timberwolves.
What?
I was trying to think of.
I love great guys.
There will be more than 500 fans at the Timberwolves game tonight. The Timberwolves will go 7-3 in their first 10 games.
Oh.
Exactly 7-3?
They will go exactly, which is a home run.
It's a home run. Yep.
The Timberwolves will go 7-3 in their first 10 games. They've got a ton of games at home. The schedule has a few tough games, but it's very doable. 7-3. Raise your expectations.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they should. Home games, weak opponents. It's
write it down.
It's all
you
right
like
there.
Writing things down.
All right, Declan.
A couple more wild predictions from me. I'll say Jordan Greenway will be a healthy scratch between now and December 1st.
All right. Down on Jordan Greenway.
Jordan Greenway hate, man.
I can't stand him. He's forgettable. He'll be a healthy scratch.
He looked great last night.
He let him an assist last year.
He looked.
Yeah. What's your problem,
last
dude?
He ain't it. Chief.
Why you gotta come on here
he
and hate?
Chief. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I want
Matt Boldy being hurt might be the best thing for him.
I want to gloat when he's healthy scratch. So yes, he'll be a healthy scratch between now and December 1st.
He doesn't need to be like one of their best players. He just needs to be a guy.
And that's why he should be in the press box, because you're not one of their best players. Go away. That's where I'm at.
Oh, it seems awfully harsh.
Write this down. I don't love him, but I don't. That's a lot of hate.
Yeah. All right, let's do your third prediction, and then we'll come back around and do your challenge after.
Phil, you have to give me a second.
Sorry,
my bad. You needed to go, Mackie.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Write this down. Mackie, at least twice every month, will forget the order in which people write that down.
And then accuse me of being a forgetful old man.
I know. And then he will lash out at his coworkers. All right, write this down. I'm going to give you some real Wolves predictions here. This is a parlay, all right? In the opener, write this down. Karl-Anthony Towns double-double, Ant 20 or more points, and the Wolves win by 10 points or more. The spread is 5 right now. So the Wolves will win by 10 or more, Ant will score 20 or more, and Cat will have a double-double in the Wolves opener tonight. Write it down.
Write this down.
Is that enough? Is that enough for you guys?
Yeah.
Are you not entertained?
We just wanted you to do the prediction. We didn't want you to skip yourself.
Yeah.
All right, brother Liam, your third prediction.
All right. My third prediction is a parlay, Minnesota Wild parlay here. Joel Eriksson-Ek is a finalist for the Selke Trophy. Wow. Kevin Fiala will average at least 0.5 goals a game. He's going to score at least 0.5 goals a game. Doesn't mean he's going to score 41 because it's an 82-game schedule. At least 0.5 goals a game, and Jared Spurgeon will also be a Norris finalist as well.
Wow.
I had that last week, I think. Yeah, nice.
Wow, look at that wild cool.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on there, wave the flag.
Do that. That's right. There we go. Gotta wave the flag. By the way, boys, we got a new goal song.
By the way. We do?
Yeah.
Shout. Yeah. Shout. You make me want to shout. What? That's the new goal song. We unveiled it last night to much consternation and controversy. But Otis Day and the Knights, Shout is the new goal song.
They should go with the Tears for Fears version.
Everyone thought,
oh, yeah.
When I tweeted Shout,
love that.
I got a bunch of notes back. Tears for Fears?
It's kind of low key. It's kind of mellow, right? It's weird.
Yeah.
All right. I still say our version of Ode to Joy here.
It's the best.
Would just be, I mean, imagine that ringing throughout an
arena
of 20,000 people.
Outdoor, alumni game, Wild / North Stars and Blackhawks. The guy who does the sound sent me a note and said, did you hear it? I played Ode to Joy once.
So great. The power and the influence here on Mackie and Judd.
Oh, truly the power of AM 1500 was incredible. Yeah.
All right, we'll get back to Brother Liam here for his challenge that he'll issue in a second. But, Judd, your third and final prediction.
All right, my third and final prediction. The Wild will sweep their two games this weekend against Anaheim and Nashville.
Wow.
They will get to
5-0.
5-0, back-to-back, 5 o'clock starts Saturday and Sunday, Anaheim and Nashville. They will win both those games.
Okay. All right, Declan, your final prediction.
Write this down.
Yep. One more Wild prediction. I'll say Joel Eriksson Ek will be the first Wild player to reach double-digit goals this season. So he has 3 already.
Ooh.
But I will say Ek will be the first Wild player to reach double-digit goals this season.
He's only had double-digit goals for the season once in his career.
He's going to score a ton, man.
Yep.
He's cleaning up the garbage in front. He's going to score a ton.
Love it.
Yeah, he's going to score a lot.
Here for it. Write that down today, presented by our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company. They're all about risk management. They're all about giving you peace of mind as a business owner. You can go to their website, federatedinsurance.com, to find a full list of industries that they'll protect and find out. Just click on the risk management corner, and you can find out about the resources they'll provide you, protect your employees, protect your bottom line. Federated Insurance, where it's our business to protect yours. All right, another Wolves prediction from me here.
Write this down.
At the end of the 2021 calendar year, so I'm just from now to the end of the year, but on December 31st, when the clock strikes midnight, the Wolves will have at least 6 players shooting 36% or better from three-point range. And what I'm trying to tell you here is they're going to be an above-average three-point shooting team. They're going to have dudes who are lighting it up from downtown. And I think 36% is around league average. So they'll have 6 or more players shooting 36% or better from 3. There you go.
Okay.
Those are the write that down predictions.
Write this down.
For the week. All right. Ordinarily, we allow our guest listener predictors to take the platform and thank anyone they want to thank. Well, Brother Liam has been on like 6 times. And so instead of thanking people, he wants to issue a challenge.
Yeah. You know what? I do want to thank my wife first and foremost. I do need to give her a shout out. I just wrapped off my softball season last night, and she had wrist surgery like 6 weeks ago. Her arm's been in a cast, and I've still been able to go play softball. She's like wrangling up small kids, so I did want to give her a little bit of credit. At least it's out there.
Good husband. Yep, yeah, nice job.
You know, she just looked at me and said, "For what that's worth." But
she's not wrong.
I want to touch on something. You know, Declan. Been really diving into the golf game lately, and he's taken some lessons, and he's gotten better, right? He broke 100 for the first time, which is great. However, I also feel like there's a little too much hubris in the personal conversations that Declan and I have had back and forth, where he thinks he's maybe a little bit better than he is, and he also thinks that he's better than me. And much like the great Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson match, I challenge you, Declan Goff, to a golf match at your course of choosing whenever you want, under whatever terms maybe Mackie and Judd decide.
Wow.
I will win by at least 5 strokes.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Whoa. This escalated. Okay. So how experienced are you as a golfer? I think that factors in here.
All right. So I played a lot when I was younger, in my late teens, early 20s, on the golf course. When I was in the military, every Air Force base is a golf course. I'm sure I'm gonna get some flack for that from listeners, then I stopped for a while, but I just got back into the game, and I've been hitting balls quite a bit lately, actually.
So when's the last time you played have you played an actual round this year?
Okay. I've done 3 in the past 3 weeks. Around a week.
Okay. Declan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts here?
So you're saying in a match of 18 holes at a course of my choosing that you will...
Wherever you want. Doesn't matter.
You will beat me by 5 strokes or more.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's on.
Now, this is two dudes probably hitting ground balls off the tee, just scratching to break 100.
Correct.
Just to set the scene for the audience.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm by no means... a scratch golfer. but I know I could beat Declan. I know that at a minimum, out of the tee box, I'm out driving you by at least 30 yards.
Yeah, drive for show, putt for dough. That's no problem. That's wow. No problem.
This is personal. That's no problem. I have a
6-year-old. I am all about a putt-putt course. Like, there's practice that's built into mm-hmm. my life already,
mm-hmm.
man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
And not to mention, okay. we talk about, I don't think you've ever beaten me at an athletic event in your life.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God, dude. Oh, this is.
Is this not true?
Oh, boy. Where's my popcorn?
Give Declan time to think.
I am faster than you, as we've talked numerous times, and I'm a better snowboarder than you are. But in terms of actual athletic.
We've never done either one of those things against each other.
You would not. Liam, you haven't been on a snowboard in like 13 years.
Okay, I almost feel like we need. I think the golfing is event number one.
Olympics?
I think we need the golf Olympics.
Jared
Goff does not qualify. He will not be playing.
Yeah, he can't come.
Brother Jared. Yeah.
I thought Liam was gonna like be typical brother Liam and bring some incriminating, embarrassing fact about me or prediction about me.
Why would I do that?
Because that's what you would do. But this is like a
what
next level prediction and moment for you on this show.
This is personal.
I wanted to keep you, like, lull you into a sense of safety by not giving any predictions about you. As a matter of fact, like, I didn't think Mackie was even going to spill the beans about the challenge until, like, right after. I wanted you to feel super safe and then hit you at the end.
Wow.
No, we had to make him sweat.
Because golf
is
a mental thing. It's a mental thing.
And yeah. Now you're going to be thinking about challenge has been accepted by Declan here. And
but we've got to set a deadline for when he has to pick the place. Like, what are the terms? Like the Score North Classic. I mean, we got to call it the Score North Classic.
And we've already done the Judd Zolgad Athlete Challenge, where he had not picked up a golf club in 20 years, and we made him play a par 3. And I think with the listeners' help, we set the over under at like 7.5, which turned out to be way like he piped his drive with a 7-iron like 150 yards down the middle. You know, 15 feet from the edge of the green, and then just kind of, you know, nudge the ball around to get there and double bogey.
Yeah. That's exactly what I did.
So, all right, we'll work on terms here, and we'll get this set up, and we can document it for the show. But the challenge is on. You thought Brooks Koepka versus Bryson DeChambeau was going to be the golf spectacle of the fall and winter. Uh-uh.
This is the match.
Oh, no.
Brother Liam versus Declan. Yes.
Different. I mean, we look totally different. Our golf game's totally different. Like, this is
damn right.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah,
love it. So there it is, Brother Liam, issuing a challenge, slinging predictions, and that's a wrap here on Mackie and Judd on this Write That Down Wednesday. Judd clinging to a batting average lead. All right, it's Reckless Speculation Thursday tomorrow. Judd's waving the wild flag. That's a wrap. See you guys.
Whether it's Baker's Simple Truth Turkey or mac and cheese with Murray's English Cheddar or pie made with fresh Cosmic Crisp apples, there are many dishes we look forward to sharing during the holidays. And Baker's has all the fresh ingredients you need to turn today's holidays into tomorrow's memories. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
Get more ways to save at the Buy 5 or More Save $1 Each sale. Just buy 5 or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
This view was worth a hike.
Right? And it's a good way to stay on top of my health.
Yes, I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. Have you screened for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. It's more treatable when caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and it's used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive result should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit Cologuard.com.
I'm in.